Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on the Hill radio show, thank you for tuning in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and other parts of the world to come join us, come and learn with us. There are so many things that really all Christians must be made aware of. We should not perish for lack of knowledge, but unfortunately, that's what's happened. A lot of Christians are lacking knowledge, and so we always like to start off the show, though, with giving it to God in prayer. So I'm just going to say hello to our co-host, Ms. Barbara Moore. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Good to hear your voice, your good, strong voice now. The Lord has just healed you, and you sound totally recovered.
Wow, thank you. I do feel a lot better. You know, everybody, it's that time of the year. And we've just really got to fill ourselves with vitamin C's and whatever it takes. And I'm just thanking God that I do have great health, Ms. Barbara, because, you know, you just feel so badly for the people that really, you know, day after day, they have to deal with ill health. And so we really need to be lifting up those people in prayer. But anyway, as always, Ms. Barbara, I know you've got a good word for us, and I'm going to turn it over to you to start us off on the right foundation.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Diana. And as I was listening to David Barton talk about the great Christian patriots from our past, I was just overwhelmed with gratitude for them. And, you know, he admonishes us to learn about our history and learn about those great Christian patriots and learn. I think one of the most important things that we can learn about is the great plan of government that they bequeathed to us, the United States Constitution, and that we understand the proper role of government. Thomas Jefferson, although he had nothing directly to do with the Constitution, he's had some good words about the role of government, the proper role. He said, a wise and frugal government, spend what you take in and to spend very wisely, to be frugal with our money. A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. And he also said, in questions of power then, let no more be said of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. So we've got to learn that Constitution. We have to understand the proper role of government. And then, as American citizens, as Christians, it is our responsibility to make sure that our government leaders are staying within the scope of the Constitution and staying within those boundaries, which they haven't been. So we've got to get back on the job. And so let's pray and thank the Lord for this wonderful country we've been given and the wonderful plan of government, which has protected our freedom for these many years. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to you, O God, and we know it's only by your hand, Father, by your Spirit, by your design, O God, that we've been able to enjoy the fruits of our labor. We've been able to enjoy all the opportunity and freedom, Lord, protected by this wonderful plan of government, which you inspired, Lord, in the founding fathers. And we thank you for it, Father. I pray that more and more your people would wake up and see your hand in our history and to see your hand in our government today, and to see what our responsibility to our country, Father, is part of our responsibility and duty to you, Lord, as Charles Finney spoke so many years ago so eloquently. We thank you, Father, that we have the opportunity at this time, Lord, to be a part of helping our country. Father, first and foremost, to be soul winners, to be able to bring many souls into your kingdom, Father, that they might learn of you, know you, love you, and serve you, and see their responsibility to you and to our country, Father. That we'll be able to make it a good place, Father, where the gospel may go forth, where the gospel is financed, where missionaries are financed to go throughout the world, Father. Father, all the benefits that a free society gives, Father, help us to remain free in this country and to raise up those, Father, who will work toward that, Lord, and treasure it and preserve it and protect that freedom, Father. Oh, we desire that so much. We believe it's your desire, oh God, that it's your desire first. And that's the reason we have that desire within us. We thank you for our freedom. We thank you for our many blessings. We thank you, Father, for our troops. We pray for your protection and your provision for them and their families, Father. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the protection of your people in Israel, O God, and that you would give wisdom to their leaders, Father, and protect them from terrorism, O Lord. And, Father, give them knowledge of witty inventions that they might subvert the tactics of their enemies, Father, and those very tactics that their enemies use against them, Father, that their enemies will be ensnared by. Help your people in Israel, O God. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus and in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you for those words, Ms. Barbara. And I was just thinking, Ms. Barbara, you know, things have changed in this nation from the very beginning. And I love the fact that, you know, we've got two historians, you and Mr. Wayne Wood, here with us, because I think that's what God wants the people, just like he did to the people of Israel. He wants them to recount, to recall, to remember, you know, to the point of it being regurgitated all the time through their festivities, their festivals, you know, their history. That is something our children have missed, and one of the foundations in the history of this nation is that why they developed schools. And we have come a long way. I mean, now what is good is being called evil, because it was based on the old Deluder Satan Act, which you told us about. And that's really so that the children can compare the laws being made with the Bible. What is in the Bible? But we have now chosen to take the Bible out of the learning of our children to the point that they're growing up very foolish, very unwise.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Because it's only in the fear of the Lord that we have knowledge and that we have wisdom. And as the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Well, in an educational system that refuses to acknowledge God, that's an education system that's going to produce fools, because there will be no acknowledgement of God. But yes, indeed. And all education that has been of value has been started by Christians throughout the centuries, even going back into the Middle Ages, when the colleges, Oxford and Cambridge, were founded, and you know, all the great institutions of learning here in this country, the first, oh, at least the first over 100 colleges that were started by churches for the gospel ministry, whether it's Harvard or Yale or Dartmouth. Dartmouth was founded for training Indians to be missionaries and evangelists and pastors and teachers to their own people for the advancement of the Christian faith within the Indian population. You know, Diana, we hear a lot about, there are a lot of people that are teaching today that the white man did nothing but plunder the riches and resources of the Indians and take advantage of them and mistreat them in every way. And nothing could be further from the truth. At the beginning, whether it was Christopher Columbus himself, although there were those who he left that did abuse the Indians, but Christopher Columbus himself and many of the Spanish missionaries, the Jesuit priests that went to the Indians and started mission schools and hospitals, and whether it's the Jesuit priests with the French coming down from what's now Canada and coming along the rivers and starting schools for Indians, or whether it's the English on the Atlantic coast that came for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, who started missionary efforts, hundreds of them, when they'd only been here, you know, for a few decades. And so, I could go on and speak of William Penn, who entered into a covenant with the Delaware Indians, which was not broken for at least 70 years. And there were, and Diana, the beautiful thing, too, about the Indian tribes, those that embraced Christianity, the Cherokee Indians, the, you know, as well as the Delawares and others. But what was so beautiful was that they had their own churches, their own congregations, and they were so fervent. Oh, Diana, they put us to shame. They put our Christians today, ourselves, they really put us to shame. They were so fervent in their love for God, and they would endure any sacrifice. There are so many stories of those that just suffered for the sake of the gospel, and the relationship between the Christians and the Indians was truly beautiful. And you know, I think about the apostle to the Indians, John Eliot. He gave his entire life to preach to the Indians. He had to learn their own tongue, the Algonquin tongue, and he learned it. And then he took the Algonquin tongue and he put it in on paper. He gave them a written language so that he could translate the Bible into their language so that they could have the Bible so that they could read it, and he taught them how to read. But what a beautiful man this apostle to the Indians, John Eliot, was. I mean, and on and on and on. And we have so much to learn.
And that's just it, Ms. Barbara. You know, the basis of wisdom, in the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord, the Bible says. And, you know, the older I get, the more weight that holds. You know, why does God want me to love him with all my heart, you know, with everything? Why is that important? Well, really, there is no greater person that loves us than him. And if we follow him, then we too ourselves will live in love, loving one another, you know, our brothers and sisters. There is no higher way. You know, if people look and search with Buddhism and all sorts of isms, you know, there is no better way. God's ways are the best ways. And I think we have went down this road of taking the Bible out of schools, prayer out of schools. And now we're in this world where here we are, 2012. It's almost like the people do not know right from wrong when we see a president that is lying to the American people, who is using the mainstream media to hide the lies to the American people. The American people have went so far away from the biblical standards. They're so busy watching, you know, all these CSIs and all these other shows. They're very good. They're very entertaining. But they almost don't realize that they're like sheep being led to a slaughter, Ms. Barbara. All those things are being used to really mislead them and take their focus away from really, you know, the business of this great nation.
Well, that's right, and you know, we can look to the history of the Roman Empire, and we can see how they used circuses, the entertainment, to keep the people's minds off of what was going on in the government and the corruption in the government. So they used bread and circuses. They kept their bellies full. I guess it'd be sort of like, well, I won't even go there. But anyway, bread and circuses to keep their minds off of what's going on that was harmful to them and to their country. And that's being done today. And then plus we have, as you said, the media. We used to call them mainstream media, but now we call them lame street media. And they are totally government controlled. They speak what the president wants them to speak, and they are heavily, heavily influenced. They are the radical left. They're not just influenced by the radical left. The media is the radical left. So they are promoting everything that is progressivism, socialism, communism, because they have embraced that ideology, and they are forwarding that. And, you know, no longer can you believe what you hear on the news. Entertainment is just, it's keeping the minds of Americans off of what's going on in Washington, what's going on in the world, what's going on in Israel. And, you know, we're like sheep being led to the slaughter. That's true.
Well, Ms. Barbara, when I think about I think it was NBC that really did something regarding the pledge, was it the Pledge of Allegiance that NBC did something? I don't watch NBC, but it seems like there was something done.
I don't care.
And it was regarding, I think, the pledge or something like that. And I know people had said, oh, we're not going to, you know, that was so awful. Whoever did it, NBC, I think was the one, though, was so awful. And I thought to myself, well, you know, if it's so bad, then don't support them. You can vote with what you watch. You know, nobody's forcing you to watch NBC or the others and therefore let them gain an audience and a rating that is good, that so, you know, there's advertising there. Why not vote with your, you know, with your ability, which is really the ability to choose what you watch, and so that they will get a lesson out of it that, you know, you do not want them to be, you know, defiling anything that is, you know, whether it be a flag or a national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, those things that are really the standards that we hold up for this nation, what this nation stands for. But, you know, there was a little bit of an outcry, Ms. Barbara, and then it was gone. It was gone.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, a lot of Americans don't realize that in many places, the Pledge of Allegiance is no longer said by students, no longer teacher-led, parent students participating in it. And this is all over our country. This has been for many years now. This has been going on. You will find some pockets, some places where it is the students do pledge allegiance to our flag, and but then in many other places it's not going on. Right here in Alabama, we think about this being a place of patriotism, which for the most part it is by older people. But what's happened with our young people is they have been in the government schools, and there has been a teaching, an indoctrination in them. And I can speak from personal experience with this. For many years, I took a group of students from a Christian school, our Christian school, to the YMCA Youth Legislature state. It's kind of like a competition, but it's a state meeting where students come from all over the state of Alabama, the cream of the crop. They're students in the highest levels in the honors classes, and they are the leaders in student government in their schools, and they come as delegates. Well, and also they do the YMCA judicial competition as well. We always participate in that. Well, with the legislature, the students are each required as a delegate to write a bill and present it to their fellow legislators. It's a mock legislature, and we, you know, take over the state capitol. It's when the legislature is not in session, so we take over their seats, and we're actually going through the process. Well, our students from our Christian school entered a bill and sponsored a bill that every school would be required, every public school getting taxpayer funds would be required to say the Pledge of Allegiance in their schools and pledge their allegiance to our flag and this country that is funding their education. You know what I'm saying? You know, doing a whole lot more, but is also is taxpayer funded and it's funding their education, you know. So you could say you could pledge your allegiance to this country that's doing that for you. But it was never passed. It was always defeated. Oh. We entered that bill time and time again. It never passed. And the opposition to it was very, very strong throughout the state. And it was defeated. They said it was unfair for students that didn't have that allegiance to our country to be
required. Oh, my goodness.
It was defeated by a large margin. There were very few that supported it beyond our delegates. There were a few. There were some homeschoolers that had come that supported it. There was another private school. There were those that supported it. For the most part, though, it was it was strongly opposed. And this was years ago. We're not talking even in the past couple of, we're not talking about in the past 4 years, okay? We're talking about beyond
wow.
10 years ago, 12 years ago. And also at that time here in Alabama, they were introducing bills for same-sex marriage to be recognized in Alabama. And those passed.
Oh, my goodness, Ms. Barbara. Now, what kind of schools were this again?
They were public
these
schools.
These weren't public schools. Okay,
yeah,
so it wasn't just
for the most part. As far as I know, we were the only Christian school there represented, and our students always like to debate, and it was a debate too, because they presented their bill, and then they had to defend their bill. Another bill that was introduced by our student was tax credits for families whose children were homeschooled or in private schools, tax credit. And you would have thought that we had declared war on them. They so strongly, vehemently argued against that one. I think to the point where one of our delegates was in tears. You know, they were so strongly attacked with that one. So, you know, we think about Alabama in a certain way, but I think we need to look at our youth and what they're being taught and how they're being influenced, because they really are and have been for many, many years.
Wow, Ms. Barbara. I think this is why it's really so important for us this coming year. You know, I know we have lost a lot, you know, with the election the way it went, because a lot of loss that could have went the other way did not. But I think it's, again, God is so wise. You know, he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I cannot help but think when parents hear the truth and they get it about Common Core, they're very, very angry. You know, it is about taking away their parental rights. And it is really that thing that we have heard of has happened under Nazi Germany, you know, when Hitler took the youth and took the mind of the youth, you know, and changed nations. And I think, you know, this is really key to this administration, because we heard that in his speeches. Over and over again, we heard that in his speech. Plus, you know, we saw the amount of money with the race to the top, that little carrot that got all the schools, well, almost all the states except Alaska and Texas, to sign on really the parental rights away, because they thought they could, having the a lot of the board members, the state board members, who were desperate for money, sign on saying this is going to improve schools, you know, throughout the land. Is going to, I even heard Jeb Bush talk about schools, education today, and I recorded it. It was on, I think it was C-SPAN or something like that. But, you know, he's a promoter of Common Core standards. And it sounds so good, Ms. Barbara. Jeb Bush.
Okay.
You know, it sounds so good that you're going to improve education. You know, that is so much a key for a child's future and upbringing. But what they don't realize is, and really, if you're a Christian, you ought to know that the enemy's always working in the background, isn't he? You know, he's trying to trip you up every chance he gets. And what this nation has not got yet, except for a few, Ms. Betty Peters, one of those, State Board of Education in Alabama, is that this is a tool that can be used really to indoctrinate. And Ms. Donna Garner, who is another spokesperson on this issue from Texas, you know, has been telling us, and she's been showing us a quote from Kevin Jennings that where he says, you know, we want them to think that really this is about academics at the beginning. We want them to think that way. just like Jeb Bush thinks that way. But what he doesn't realize is the Kevin Jennings of this world, and there's many like him, are going to use this tool to really indoctrinate. And that's what he says. We don't mind being in the back, being laughed. The homosexual agenda is very, very concerned. This is one of their top issues, this passing of a Common Core and, being pushed throughout each state. And we've been asleep, but I think, Ms. Barbara, maybe that's one of the things that we can do is really get parents. I guess I know you're thinking about making a trip and traveling. I think that's one of the issues that will connect, because when it comes down to it all, everyone really is concerned about their child, their grandchild. And once they realize what the enemy's up to, I think they will be a force to be reckoned with, but they have to be informed.
Well, they do, and I think I would think that Jeb Bush and others of his position, I mean, he was former governor of Florida, he has access to the same information we do. And if he's going to be a spokesperson for it, he needs to be thoroughly informed about it. And so I don't give him a pass. I think shame on him. If he doesn't know about it, shame on him. If he does know about it and is pushing it, you know, because as you said, it is an indoctrination in liberalism, radical leftism, against every traditional good that we have experienced in this country, whether it's whether we're talking about traditional marriage, because the indoctrination in Common Core standards would aim to destroy the idea of traditional marriage. And as I mentioned a few days ago, that has been the force and goal of the National Education Association for many years, going way back into the 90s and into the 80s. They have aimed at that, in addition to bringing socialism and communism and environmentalism, radical greening environmentalism to the classroom and to indoctrinate. And it's done in all so many ways, Diana. It's not just the science courses. It's done in their reading, in their reading classes, in the even the books in their libraries are filled with environmental those ideas of radical environmentalism and all of these things. So, you know, it's not new, but with Common Core standards, it would be they would have more money, more power, more control to really indoctrinate it more rapidly, more aggressively. And so, you know, we as parents, as grandparents, we've got to do what we can to stop it and try to minimize the effects by working in our local communities, in our local schools, doing everything we can to reach children, I think.
Wow. I think, Ms. Barbara, you know, again, this goes back to really, we're so behind. They've been meeting the back doors, you know, planning all these things. And we look at Obamacare and how beautifully that has been planned.
You know, it's just really, really sad. So I think I almost feel like there needs to be a panel of people that goes through every county in the nation and informing them, especially in the counties that we saw went towards Obama, because there were a lot of red areas, but a lot of the blue areas were in the cities, and I think it's just really they did not understand the truth. So I think maybe this coming year, you know, people should give an opportunity, make opportunities for the truth to be heard so that nobody misses it, you know, especially in these areas that unfortunately, you know, just by a little bit, you know, the election could have went the other way. Because, I mean, again, that, you know, that knowledge is so key. And I just think, as we're seeing with even the Benghazi gate, you know, what I know people are saying, well, you don't want to impeach because that would cause riots, you know, and so we hear that trying to downplay it, but I'm thinking the truth has to be exposed. Where it goes, you know, that's really up to the House of Representatives, but an inquiry needs to be made, if nothing else, to honor the men that died. But also, Ms. Barbara, if the thing is, this is a cover-up because of political correctness in that they really do not want to make Islam look bad, then I'm thinking to myself, all you're doing is really hiding the powder keg, because it's going to come. One way or the other, something is going to come that is going to really hit this nation hard. So you putting it off by not letting the truth come out now, you know, is not really going to prevent it. If anything, I think it will make it worse, because when you cannot trust your leaders, the president, and all those, I mean, then how can you really call yourself a Republican nation, you know, a form of government, a free nation at that, because all you're doing is really following what you're being told. Whether it be a lie or a truth, doesn't matter.
And what's the difference between that and a dictatorship? None. I mean, a dictatorship is the simplest form of government, because all you have, it requires no effort on the part of the citizenry. All they have to do is what they're told to do. They don't have to study and learn about their own country's history. Why would they? Because there's no need for it, you know? Why would they study the plan of government that they're under when there's no need for it? You know, there is a need for it in the United States of America, and yet we have been neglecting that. But, you know, so we're really saying, in essence, as Americans, that we prefer a dictatorship. We prefer the simplest form of government where it's top-down and we are dictated to, we are mandated to do thus and so. And, you know, we don't want to, we'd rather watch, CSI, and we'd rather watch football games, and we'd rather just shop, and we'd rather just, you know, enjoy all sorts of entertainment, and you know, the pursuit of pleasure is what life is all about, you know, it seems like. And so if we have a dictatorship with the top-down government, then we can just spend our time doing what we want to do. I mean, Diana, that's what has been happening in this country for many years now. And I'm afraid that many of our citizens are at that place where, you know, they are choosing a dictatorship rather than a republic. A republic requires effort. It requires study. It requires active participation. And, you know, that's what we were given by our founding fathers. But we are allowing this nation to disintegrate into a democracy, and a social democracy, or a democratic social socialism, and so you know that's where we're going very rapidly at this point. And you know, what's the difference between this and a dictatorship?
And to Ms. Barbara, you know, I think to myself, one of the things that a lot of the Hispanic community that have voted for Obama, I'm hoping that, you know, now that they got their way and he's in and they're thinking he's going to protect them and let them stay, the thing that I hope that they'll try to realize is, you know, we can do better. We must do better. Yes, you know, immigration is a problem that must be addressed and this and that. But I think what they're going to find out in the coming future is what was at stake in this election really was Obamacare. And for us to be able to have gotten rid of it, we really needed to have a change in leadership. That did not happen. And what they don't realize is Obamacare will affect them because they have grandparents, they have parents that are really going to be considered under Obamacare as not worth approval of getting whatever necessary surgeries is going to come up, because that's what Obamacare will do. Obamacare is really prejudiced. If you're old, you're infirm, or you're too young and you're not productive, they're prejudiced against those kind of people, members of society. So, you know, they have missed the biggest problem of all, which is this land of the free that they really want to be a part of. It's not going to be free.
Well, you know, one of the things that we have to look at is where they're coming from. They're coming from the country of Mexico, that has no the country of Mexico, under their constitution, under the Mexican constitution, the government has total control of everything, of land use, everything, all the resources. They're all owned by the government, not by the people. And the people have no protection. They have no guarantees of any sort of freedom in Mexico. And so they're coming here to this country and where there is freedom, and they probably don't understand that it won't remain free. They probably haven't studied our plan of government, this constitutional federal republic, and so I would assume that they don't have any understanding of the proper role of government either, because coming from Mexico, where the government is in control of everything with no protection for the citizenry and no opportunities for the citizens, you know, it's a government and where the government picks winners and losers, you know, like we see under the Obama administration, picking winners and losers with their waivers, and they make these mandates and then they give waivers to their friends. Well, that's crony capitalism, and that's how it is in Mexico. The government picks winners and losers and favors their friends, and everybody else is left out in the cold. So when they come here, they experience still. We're experiencing a degree of freedom that they've never known, and under the Mexican Constitution. So, yeah,
it's going to be so hard, Ms. Barbara. I heard of something that said that the Republicans really they worded the things so badly in regard to the Hispanics. One of the statements that was made is like, getting rid of grandmas, booting them out of the country, and that is offensive. That is hard for families to take. Yeah, that's not a good way to put it. But what they fail to realize is here, this new government is going to kill grandma.
That's right.
I mean, it's really, I hate to say it, but the hospital is going to be one of the places you don't want to be in, because it's just like in Europe. Right, in the Netherlands, where if you're in there, you know, and this is true, people can Google it and look for themselves. Children die in the hospital that could have lived. The elderly die in the hospital that could have lived because once they start making those decisions of whether to spend more money on this grandma or this youngster or not, you know, they're just going to think, oh, hey, they're not really productive people. And isn't that so awful, Ms. Barbara? But that is the thing that I'm hoping next year people will get informed, find out more about Obamacare, because I know a lot of people we've tried to talk about it, but they still didn't get it. But I think more are starting to get it now because they're finding that it's hard to find doctors that will service them. You know, those things are happening now. It's hard to get the prescriptions that you used to get. Guess what?
Yeah.
It's all about money now. So little by little, I think they're going to understand. But we do have a chance. We have, in 2 years, we have a chance to really to elect a Senate that will do the job. But it depends on if people will still hide their head under the sand, because if they do, then, wow, no getting out of it. But in 2 years, if people will at least try to listen and try to learn, I think they'll be able to see for themselves. You know, the Senate is going to be the last stand, isn't it, Ms. Barbara, in the next 2 years?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up about the opportunity that we have in 2 years, because many of the senators are up for election or re-election, and we have an opportunity at that point. And it's going to take 2 years to get ready, because conservatives are in disarray. You know, we're looking at, we're being told that, oh, we were too conservative, and that's why we lost the election. Nothing could be further from the truth. We never win an election when we have moderates that water down the conservative message. And so we have got to use this time wisely, and as we've spoken about many times before on the radio show, Diana, is that we have to get to the churches. We have to educate Christians and to understand our duty to our country as part of our duty to God, and that Jesus is involved in politics, and it's important to him. You know, we've got to get back to reading God's word and seeing things the way God sees them, all of life, and that we're not to keep our values within the church walls, that we've got to be salt and light throughout our nation and throughout the world. And we've got to apply God's principles to all of life. And that includes politics. That includes government. That includes education. That includes the arts and the media. We've got to be there, and we've got to make known the truths of God in all of those arenas. And Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. And we've got to really, really work on getting that truth into the churches and activating God's people.
And you know what, Ms. Barbara, the churches is like you said, it's going to be the key, because a lot of things that you teach us so beautifully on this radio show is not being taught to our children. And I really think that the churches really need to look at teaching the children their Christian heritage, because that is so important. I think that's what God did. And God really wanted the Jewish nation to remember the legacy, the Christian heritage, you know, what Christ did, what God did for them and their people. And that's something we don't do in our churches. And I think it's come a time when we need to do it, because our children are lost. It's like they do not know they have heroes. They do not know about their history, and so they don't know where to stand. It's all about iPods and videos. You know, they're really not excited about, you know, this nation. As if anything, they're being made to feel like they need to apologize about this nation.
Yeah, that's That's right. And you know, Diana, there is one constant that I heard from students who would express their appreciation. Not all did, but there have been many that have expressed their appreciation to me about showing the commonality was showing them God's hand in our history, showing them God's wonders among our people. And you know, in Scripture, there are over 300 references where God tells us, his people, to remember his works of old, to remember the wonders he has performed. Now, he didn't stop performing those wonders when the last word was written in the book of Revelation and closing out the books of the Bible. He didn't stop working. Jesus Christ is alive, and he is performing wonders, has performed wonders throughout our history as well as the history of the world. And we can learn of those. We can see his hand, his mighty hand, and see the wonders he has performed in our nation, in our people, and we can know him better through seeing what he has done. And these great people that God used, he raised up, and he used people to perform extraordinary deeds, ordinary people to perform extraordinary deeds through his power. You know, it says in the book of Daniel that God's people will do mighty exploits in him and with him and through him. And that continues to this day. The Holy Spirit works. This is the time of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is available to us and will have the power through the Holy Spirit to make known the wonders of God. And, you know, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like learning of the Lord. There is no adventure so exciting as this. And, you know, what's frustrating too, Diana, is that God desires this. You know, he desires it. He be known, and that his deeds will be known, and that we can know him better and better. We can see things more clearly. He will remove the scales from our eyes. He will lift the veil so that we can see and know and understand him and his truths. And he is available to us, you know, and... So it's that's his desire, and that's our desire too, isn't it, Diana?
Oh, it is. And Ms. Barbara, I just saw a most wonderful video documentary, The Star of Bethlehem, and which when you watch it, you will want to read more, study more. But people really need to Google that and get that and show that to their church group, especially this time of the year. But what it taught me was, you know, God is really awesome. You see that he used the stars as a sign of the coming of his son. And really, you know, he said that in Genesis. He said that in the very beginning, why he made them. And you know that the God who will write and use the stars as the signs, you know, can do anything. He can do anything. He is able to do that. He can do anything. And so really, we want to give everything to God in prayer. He who made the heaven and earth, nothing is hard for him. So I'm going to go ahead and really ask the listeners, you know, if you're one of those that do not know the Lord and what we're talking about doesn't make sense to you, you know, God is so good. He said, "But ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened," in Matthew 7:7. So it's not like, you know, you don't have to have any help in finding out, because he will help you. All you have to do is ask. Ask him and mean it, you know. And it's really awesome, because the people throughout history, Ms. Barbara Wright, we hear that, you know, the man that wrote the series, you know, The Case for Christ, Case for Faith, you know, he set out to really disprove it, because his wife had gotten into that, and he wanted to prove to her how wrong she was.
Yeah.
But see, the more you study it, the more you see the truth. He ended up giving his life over to the Savior, because what he saw was just a foolproof truth, you know, that indeed God is real. And what he says in his word is true, and to the point that you can give your life, and he willingly did give his life to his Savior. So, you know, so I hope that you, the listener, you know, I know you probably have friends that are naysayers, you know, says don't believe that hogwash, you know. And sometimes we like to be liked. Many times we like to be liked, and we want to go along with the crowd. But remember, when you die, that crowd is not going to be with you holding your hands to heaven or to hell. You're going to be alone. And who you're going to face is going to be decided by not your friends, not that crowd, not the wise words of your counselor, but really God and you. You're going to be the only one that can make that decision as to whether you enter heaven or hell. And it is real. That is something that history has proven. And, you know, there's writings all throughout. Jesus is real. Jesus did live. Jesus did serve man. And when he died on the cross, wow, the stories of the blood moon and all these, you know, it's like the heavens shook. And it's real and it's recorded. So, you know, if you don't believe it, you need to find the records. Find out for yourself, because it's going to mean a lot to you. It might not mean anything to your friend. They're so stubborn. But you need to find out for yourself. So we invite you to find out what we have found, that, you know, he is worthy and everything he says is true. So I'm going to go ahead, Ms. Barbara, and I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God. There's none like you. We thank you, Lord, for, Lord, how you have given us signs in the heavens, and it's all throughout your holy scriptures, Lord. It's in the word how you have inspired all these men, Lord Heavenly Father, that, Lord, all the things that they said, oh Heavenly Father, they are wondrous, and their life. You said man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Lord, you say you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I just pray that for the listener, Lord, Heavenly Father, who do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that this will be the time when they, on their own, in their own room, in their own house, when they're alone, that they will read your word and they will search for you. Heavenly Father, give them your wisdom, Heavenly Father. And I just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be on this radio show, Lord, to just shine the light, to give you praise and honor for who you are, an almighty God who sent your one and only Son to die on the cross, Lord, to show us the way so that we too can have eternal life in heaven, that our names are written in heaven, Lord. There is nothing greater. When all is said and done, when this world, this time has ended for us, Lord, we can be assured that, Lord, you are waiting for us in heaven. And what a wonderful thing that is, Lord. We pray for all those that are lost that do not know that assurance, Lord, that do not know that hope is in you, that, Lord, they will taste it, that they will find you, and that they will know what you said. when it said that your word is sweeter than honey. We thank you, Lord. We ask these things in the mighty name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ms. Ball, I'm going to let you close if you don't mind.
Oh, I'd be glad to. Thank you, Diana. Thank you for praying so beautifully. I appreciate that so very much. Well, listeners, we're glad you joined us today. And we would ask that you would share this podcast with your friends and family and the many podcasts that are available at our website, cityonahill.tv. And, you know, as Diana says, you know that we can learn together. We can learn more. We can become informed, inspired, and then active and involved the way the Lord wants us to be. So we thank you now for joining. Oh, please join us tomorrow. We're going to have Judge Roy Moore, who was just elected to be our Chief Justice for the state of Alabama, the Supreme Court, and he will be with us and sharing in a beautiful way. We ask you to let your friends and family know about that so they can hear him at tomorrow's broadcast. So thank you for joining us. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Thank you. Bye-bye.